At Armstrong, your connectivity is backed by local technicians, our 24-7 network operations team, and our 24-7 customer service center. Armstrong, unmatched employees, unmatched customer care, unmatched fiber network.
Street Scene Power Hour is back in your homes, on your television screen, and ready to irritate the crap out of you if you have listened to our show before, because that's what we specialize in, especially like with Rick Herrera. Rick Herrera and our other host, Larry Ward. I'm Greg Roten. We are Street Scene Power Hour, and
episode 51.
And January, we're into the January, and we have a lot to get to, and we have special guests Adam Pratt and Adam, very familiar name to Street Scene Power Hour and Street Scene, as we have featured him in a lot of episodes of everything. And he is also the co-owner of the owner of Young Sound Cycle and Speed. So we will get into all that, but we want to get started. I'm going to start with Larry a little bit. What's coming on with you and in the bike world, and anything coming up that you want to mention?
At the end of February, Dave and Ed Swap Meets will do something a little different. They're pulling the show from Canton over to Canfield, Ohio.
Yay!
$1 million building. So I'm heard that that's practically sold out. And by the way, Corey said he'll call you tomorrow. He's got a deal for you on a space. So that'll be really good at the April spring meet.
Good.
So February is pretty good. What's that?
What? No, it's not. By tens made up.
No autographs. I'm just trying to, if you need to buy some junk,
come on.
I am selling a whole bunch of crap at the swap meet. So yeah, make sure.
Well, that's the place to sell it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Punxsutawney Phil's coming up here, and we'll see if he sees a shadow. But we've had a really, really good winter. I mean, yeah, it snowed a little bit, but it's almost all gone with the rain. And then as I get through the end of February, March 2nd through the 14th, I'll be down in Daytona. So I'll be doing one of the shows like it did last year from down there. If you remember, it got pretty dark and they didn't have
any lights. We're gonna hate on you big time when you're down there. You know that.
Hey, you could come down. Actually, my buddy is renting this house with an option to buy. And I mean, you're right on Old Dixie Highway, exit 40, right off of I-95. And I'll tell you what, it's nice area there. Swimming pool, all that stuff. So I hope he buys it, because I'll go down there a couple times then.
Is he going to live there? Or is this going to be his winter home?
I don't know what he's going to do. He's pretty wealthy. And he's got a condo over here in that gated community in Canfield. So, but he'll spend at least 8 weeks now. He went down last week. So he'll be there for about 8 weeks and probably till April, May. I don't know, something, whenever he feels like coming back. But I hope he buys that. That'll be really cool. And then right after March, April starts outdoor stuff. Right now, Supercross is going on. So every Saturday night until we get to a championship. And sometimes it's on Peacock. Sometimes it's on NBC Sports. I don't know. We just have to look for it. But Ryan Villopoto is and Eli Tomac, two old veterans are really leading the pack. So I'm looking forward to Saturday night. And then April starts the outdoor scenes for the Corvettes. There's a couple of autocrosses. There'll be high speed point to pass at Nelson Legends. So that's always a good 2-day kind of event. And then there is a couple of motorcycle events coming up in May. Rob Bitus has that Bagger Racing League, and the first two events will take place early in May. So we'll have to wait and see, how May could be iffy. Cold, and cold's not good when you're trying to warm up the tires, but so that's what's happening so far in May. And I've got two new hobbies. I have a 10th scale rock crawler Ford pickup.
No, it's a Honda.
Oh, it's so fun. I'll tell you what, it's got four-wheel drive, full suspension. You change the shock heights. You change the oil, just like regular car.
And you put a lot of money into those, too. You can.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm just going to stay like a class one and class two. And just I'm having a blast. And I visited Adam's shops a couple of times now. I want to throw a shout-out to Adam. He does a great job there. I picked up gaskets today. I picked up something else yesterday. So, I'm getting my 94 Softail ready to go. And his guy, Dave, his super mechanic, we swapped out Jiffy stands. Mine had a little piece broke on the end that he could easily fix. So I gave him that, and he gave me one that was already fixed. And, well, what a better place to have than Youngstown Speed and Cycle. Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Rick, I don't think you have anything going on.
Because, no, he doesn't.
You know, you didn't do anything today, did you? You might and you might want to change your background. If you're watching this episode, I can encourage you to tune into YouTube. You can always listen to this podcast, but he's got a Florida background, which we want to kill. Mm-hmm. So we want to see that right now. But why don't you inform of what, how much money you spent today?
Now I've been looking for a car now for since last June, since I got rid of the old 64 Bird. So I've been looking. I was looking at Cougars and everything, and looking at Rivieras, the older Rivieras, the 60s style. I really like that style. And then all of a sudden I said, let me look at something else. I'm not doing too good with the Cougars. The Cougar guys weren't responding too well, and so I started looking at the Firebirds, and all of a sudden I found a bunch of them. I almost pulled the trigger on one last week. I go, nah, it was all redone and everything, but it was just not the right color, not the right engine. It had a 350 two barrel in it, and but he had it all souped up, looked like the Trans Am and everything. And I go, yeah, I don't know if I really want that. So I kept looking, all of a sudden I come across this one right here. Can you see it? Oh, there it goes. That's trying to get me. There it goes. 69 Pontiac Firebird convertible, red with white top, white interior, 400 engine, four barrel. So,
and an automatic.
Possibly get it tomorrow. Like I was just talking to the fellow.
Jeez.
I bought it off of, So,
wish I knew that, Rick. I know a guy.
You know a guy?
Yeah, his is, what year is his? 69, something like that. It's a hard top, low mileage survivor.
It's a hard top.
Hard top, yeah.
I wanted the convertible. I'm a convertible guy.
Yeah, that car is beautiful.
This is like my seventh convertible right now. So,
you know, I got to mention something to you. Speaking of that, speaking of your Firebird, if anybody in town remembers, and this was probably 20 years ago, and I saw this when I was working at a TV station. There was somebody on maybe the South Side, West Side, somewhere probably around the South Side, Midlothian area. They drove all year round. It was like a 69 Firebird 400. It was blue, and it was a convertible. They drove it all year round, and I saw it in the snow and everything. And I sit there and I'm like, man, that's a nice car. And if anybody remembers it, email us at armstrongstreetscene@gmail.com because I remember watching that car for years and years, and then it just disappeared. And I was like, man, that is
probably ended up in a junkyard. Those rusted pretty good there. You know?
But it was like 20 years ago, and even then it was an older car. And I'm like, wow. But I don't know who drove it. I don't know what happened to it, but I'd love to keep track of that. So Rick
supposedly this only has 56,000 miles on it. Yeah,
you know what? Another nice car to look at, Rick, that you don't see many of. My buddy had a Mercury Cyclone, a 390 and a four-speed, and it was burgundy with a white interior. And man, that you just don't see many of them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was 69 through, I think maybe 71, but I can't remember. But I'll tell you, when back in the day when we all used to run up and down Market Street. Boy, his car was exceptional. I mean, just beautiful car. And I happen to think about that. And, you know, I'm not a big Ford guy, but there's certain ones that I like, but I'd rather race a Chevy.
What was the Cyclone? Was that the, what was the model of that? Was that the Fairlane?
Like a Fairlane, yeah.
Oh, the Fairlane.
Was it a Fairlane? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, only it was the other side of it. I think Fairlanes were called. GTs or something, but the Cyclones, mm-hmm. They had nice badging, good interior, nice dashes and that, but you mm-hmm. just don't see many of them around now, you know? Right. In fact, I haven't seen any, you know?
Yeah, they're limited. They were limited then, you know? They're kind of mm-hmm. like the Cougar, XR7s or the Cougars.
XR7s. Oh, those are very good. Limited production as well. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have, we're welcoming back Adam Pratt. He is the owner of Youngstown Cycle and Speed, and we want to get into what they do down there. And you know what? Let's go back. Let's go way back. And what got you started on the motorcycle car hobby kick? I think Rick and Larry know the answer, but our audience probably doesn't know.
Gated community in Canfield, so. You know, but he'll spend at least 8 weeks now. He went down last week, so he'll be there for about 8 weeks and probably mm-hmm. till April, May, I don't know, something, whenever he feels like coming back. But I hope he buys that. That'll be really cool. And then right after March, April starts outdoor stuff. Right now, Supercross is going on, so every Saturday night until we get to a championship. Sometimes it's on Peacock, sometimes it's on NBC Sports. I don't know. We just have to look for it. But Ryan Villopoto is and Eli Tomac, two old veterans, are really leading the pack. So I'm looking forward to Saturday night. And then April starts the outdoor scenes for the Corvettes. There's a couple of autocrosses. There'll be high speed point to pass at Nelson Ledges. So that's always a good 2-day kind of event. And then there is a couple of motorcycle events coming up in May. Rob Bitus has that Bagger Racing League, and the first two events will take place early in May. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, how May could be iffy, cold, and cold's not good when you're trying to warm up the tires, you know. But so that's what's happening so far in May. And I've got two new hobbies. I have a 10th scale rock crawler Ford pickup.
Those are fun.
I'll tell you, uh-huh. It's got four-wheel drive, full suspension. You change the shock heights. You change the oil, just like regular car.
And you put a lot of money into those, too. You can.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm just going to stay like a class one and class two. And just I'm having a blast. And I visited Adam's shops a couple of times now. Want to throw a shout out to Adam. He does a great job there. I picked up gaskets today. I picked up something else yesterday, so I'm getting my 94 Softail ready to go. And his guy Dave, his super mechanic, we swapped out jiffy stands. Mine had a little piece broke on the end that he could easily fix, so I gave him that, and he gave me one that was already fixed. And well, what a better place to have than Youngstown Speed and Cycle. Oh boy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Rick, I don't think you have anything going on.
Because, no, he doesn't.
You know, you didn't do anything today, did you? You might want to change your background, because if you're watching this episode, I can encourage you to tune into YouTube. You can always listen to this podcast, but he's got a Florida background, which we want to kill. Mm-hmm. So we want to see that right now. But why don't you inform of mm-hmm. what? How much money you spent today?
I've been looking for a car now for since last June, since I got rid of the old.
Find the motors. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Is it a Jeep? 401 Jeep?
Yeah, it's an AMC 401.
AMC, okay.
Yeah, so it's that. I converted to a 4-speed. I put wide track axles under it. It complete nut and bolt restoration, and I did it. I actually did it right before my daughter came along. So it's been, the neat thing is it's been done since she's been born. Like I literally finished it and then she was born right after.
Wow.
It's been restored as it currently is since she's been born. So, and that will go to her when I'm done. And then the Beetle we have, our 64 Beetle, that will go to my oldest, which, she's actually been driving it around the neighborhood since she's been 13. Oh. She's 15. She'll have her license this summer, and she already told her, she's like, I'm going to take that Beetle out constantly.
You
got her hooked.
Good on gas.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for Adam real quick. You know, you had worked at Four Wheel Drive, and I never got the full story of how I knew that was bought out, and I'm sure you got some kind of lump sum to move on in that. But how did you decide that Jim and Youngstown Cycle was the place that you wanted to park your hat? Tell us about that transition, because that had to be a big deal.
Yeah. So I started, like, to back up, four-wheel drive was a complete accident for me. So I've been going up there since I was a kid. I graduated art school. They commissioned me to do a mural in the showroom. During that time, I talked to them. I ended up getting a job there. Started out in customer service, quickly went to a supervisor. Like, I was running the sales department. And then, like, by the end, I was like upper management. So I was there 15 years. Yeah. So we were devastated. We were like a family when that place shut down. I went to work at Crown Automotive, and I worked from home, which back then was like unheard of. Nobody would hire you. Trans wanted me to stay on with them. Trans American Auto Parts. That's who originally bought out 4-Wheel Drive a couple of years after I started. Like, they own 4-Wheel Parts, Pro Comp, Poison Spider, all those places. And they wanted me to stay on, but they wanted me to move to California. Well, absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not pulling my daughter away from everything she knows. So I went to work for Crown Automotive. I worked from home. And it was a good gig, but after being used to what I was doing for 15 years, it just was, you know what I mean? It wasn't fulfilling to me. It was a paycheck. Yeah. Loved the job. Great group of people. I'm still friends with all of them. I keep in contact with all of them. But the Dean and Megan were over here one day. We were messing with his Jeep, and he mentioned that Youngstown Cycle was going to be going up for sale. Now, motorcycling has been a hobby for me, more or less vintage motorcycles, customs, the stuff that we do there, you know. Started with my Panhead I have. That was my dad's bike. So that got me into bikes. It ended up, I talked to Jim, we went back and forth, and I just ended up taking the plunge on it. So, and then ironically, I get shut down six months later due to COVID. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been like a crap show just because of everything going on with the economy and everything. But I mean, we just keep pushing, and it's the thing with all of us there, we all have the passion for it. You know what I mean? And that's what keeps us going. So any small business, you have your good days, you have your bad days, but it just keeps us going because of passion, and we take pride in what we do, you know?
Yeah, because if you've been down to Youngstown Cycle and Speed, and you know, Rick and I and Larry, we were there from day one, and they really turned this business into something special for the area. You know, you got Jeep parts, motorcycle parts, you know, I love the die cut stuff that you do. Youngstown Cycle and Speed does our trophies for the Street Scene Car and Custom Bike Show. And, you know, when I took back over the Street Scene Car and Custom Bike Show, that was the first thing I wanted to do. It's like, we're going to Youngstown Cycle and Speed and getting custom trophies made, which they do an awesome job every year for us. It's a big hit. And we can't appreciate that enough, because
Matt's got some cool stuff up his sleeve that we've been doing too, for like the grand champions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they can, like, people can follow our Facebook page. And then I have a page for my artwork that's AP Designs, and I post everything on there too, but you can see finished products. We've been doing a lot of those things backlit lately, which is weird.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So we're taking like the normal ones. We put standoffs on them, put mounts on them, so they're up off the wall. We backlight them with LEDs, and they look really cool.
Yeah, that's
you gonna pinstripe them?
I do some of them, yeah.
Do you? Okay,
yeah, that's the best thing you can do, is just tell me do what I want on them.
Go ahead. That way, have at it. And then it's you know, the what else, you know, there's, you're not only tied into just pinstriping and die cut, you know, you kind of dabble in everything down at Youngstown Cycle and Speed. And that's what the beauty of having a locally owned business like that is.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's too much, but like,
no,
Matt, Timmy, like, our philosophy is like, if we can do it, just do it. You know, like, if it's making us money now, let's make money the way we can, you know?
Yeah. And it's a good thing to keep that money flowing into your local businesses, because I'm going to tell you one thing, you know, you're going to order parts on Amazon. You don't have that customer service and somebody knowledgeable like Adam and his team down there to actually help you through something.
Right.
Everybody's going to run into trouble, and you need somebody to go to at least get some advice on how to get this solved. And it's always that, you know, I feel bad for, thank you to Doug Dunkel at Doc Snyder.
Oh, Doug's amazing.
He got me out of a bind because I was having trouble getting my camshaft timed up, and it's so stupid. It was just a brain fart on my part, but you know, it was, thank God he was there, because I texted him and it was like right then, you know, he got back to me. But that's the people you need in this community.
Yeah, Doug and Mike are actually good friends of Matt and I.
Yeah,
we're up there quite a bit. We talk to them, like Doug the same way. I mean, he's one of the best painters I know.
Yeah,
and he helps me out all the time. Like I'll run into stuff. Him and Mike that works up there is also a good friend. Mike, you'll see when we're at events, Mike's always at our booth helping us.
Yeah. I would say Doug is one of the most one of the best bodywork guys I've ever seen. If you've seen
that.
And you can see that as work on some of the street scene shows, like you know, with the Don Snyder collection. He's done a lot of that work, and
those cars are perfect. They're beautiful. I'll tell you.
I could only dream of having that much talent, you know.
That's what I always say. Matt and I think we're doing an awesome job, and then we go up there and it's like, yeah, we suck.
Hey, you got to step up. That's all.
That's it.
But Doug's been doing it how many years now?
Yeah. Think how the rest of us feel. We go up to your shop and say, my God, look at the awesome work they're doing.
Yeah.
And then we go to Doug's and we're like, man, I really suck too. And then, you know, there's people like me that go home going, I really do suck. You know, my word sucks. Yeah. So, you know, that taking that one step further, you know, give us a little bit of what else you do up there. I mean, I walked in the other day to drop off the trophy list for you guys because you make the trophies. And there was a Model A sitting in there you're working on.
Yeah.
Motorcycles. I've gone in there and there's go-karts and mini bikes and everything.
Yeah, the Model A project, we did that last year for a customer, and it was supposed to be just a steering column, a shifter, and headers. We ended up doing the wiring harness, fuel system. I painted the car. We did, like, I redid the dash, put new gauges in it. We did, like, a bunch of stuff to it. Matt fabbed a ton of stuff on there.
Yeah.
We ended up, we did that stuff, got it running. He drove it all winter. Now we pulled the motor out. Timmy's going through the motor, and we're going to be juicing it all up with a cam and a gear drive and a bunch of stuff there.
Sounds familiar.
I got some tricks up my sleeve for painting the engine compartment all crazy. And then we have our interior guy that's doing the interior in it, so it'll finally be finished. A couple other stuff. I mean, that customer is just absolutely amazing because we'll go through with ideas like, he always gives me freedom. You know what I mean? Like we can tell him, hey, this is what we're thinking. And he's all about it. So
who does your interiors?
I have a guy over in PA that does it.
Okay.
So yeah, we deal with him. And then, Yanni's also a friend of ours that we can go through too, which Yanni does incredible work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, yeah. But, there's a lot that they do over Youngstown Cycle and Speed. And, you know, let me ask this question, you know, what have you learned owning your own business now and dealing with the public and, you know, what they want and what they've actually asked of you to do, you know, have you adapted to that?
Yeah, we're getting better. I mean, with the first year was just absolute, I'll call it chaos. Because you're trying to take as much and build yourself and it's, you can't do business like that. You know what I mean? Cause we were doing the good and the bad. Now it's like, unfortunately, you got to weed people out sometimes. And as far as I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, that's called age. Ask Larry.
Don't worry, he does that all the time.
Yeah, but it's you're figuring stuff out. Also, figuring out decisions to be smarter about where you're spending money and stuff like that. You know, it's just, it's a learning process. And every year I come to the end of the year and it's like, okay, it'll just click. I got to do this, this, and this different. And you change it. You know what I mean? And that's how you build a business. So, I mean, we're here 3 years. Like Matt always says, we survived being shut down. We survived the pandemic. So now we're in a recession. So we get through this, we're golden, man. You know.
Yeah, you experience it all.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rick. I was just.
Do you own the place you're in?
No, we. You're
just renting it.
Yeah, yeah, we rent it.
Is it getting small for you yet, or what?
It's weird. We have that humongous showroom. Now, yeah. Rick, you haven't been in a while, I don't think. Half of the showroom is literally now a shop because when Jim had the business, he did a lot of showroom business where we do more of the shop stuff, the paint, the fab work, the mechanical work. We're doing more of that. So my hindsight or my whatever, like in the future here, I plan on a smaller showroom and more shop space, as well as I need a garage door to get cars in. Cause right now I'm very limited. I've done a couple Jeep CJs in there cause I can get them through the front door. The hot rod, I can get through the front door. I had a bug through the front door. I'm very limited. So I want to try to get us somewhere that we have shop space. Shop space is more important, and push comes to shove. Like we were talking about earlier, the dynamic has changed between when Jim had it and when we have it, as far as parts are way more accessible on the internet now. You can find anything. So you're seeing that with the showroom. You know what I mean? Like, I need to keep tires, I need to keep oil, I need to keep filters, helmets, stuff like that. I don't need all the inventory because it's just money sitting there.
Yeah.
So what can they get when they come to us? They can get custom fab work. They can get custom paint work. They can get their bike that's older than 10 years worked on, because a lot of people aren't touching that now.
That's true.
So, and that's the stuff that we love to work on. So that's what kind of sets us aside from everybody.
Larry, have you experienced that? Have you seen that with the bike, the bike realm now, that people, anything over like Adam said, 10 years, they're not even touching it anymore.
Oh yeah. You know, and here's where Adam has a huge competitive advantage, is that, you know, when you look at his shop, it's, you know, custom cars, Jeeps, motorcycles of all types. I mean, they have a Yamaha moped in there, all the way up to an old Ironhead that they're working on. So there's a variety and a versatility there. And in addition, if you've got a bike that's 10 years or older, and I don't care whether it's, unless it's a BMW. Yeah, that's a different thing. But if you have a Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki, Harley Davidson, especially, you know, they're going to call that not obsolete, but they're going to call it, we don't want to work on it. And with Harley Davidson, you've got another challenge, because all the information is proprietary. So you pretty much, I mean, you might rouse around, it'll take you a while to find a part number. But generally, when I buy a Harley Davidson, I don't only buy a shop manual, but I have to buy a parts manual, because then I can go, and most of the bikes that I have, the parts are obsolete, quote, obsolete from Harley. And yet they're available on the internet through a variety of sources. But, you know, either you have to be very defined on the description, or you have to have the part number. And if you have both, you're golden, and you'll probably find something, you know, that you need. By going through that. But the advantage of having Youngstown Speed and Cycle is that, you know, they're that one-stop shop. They can do everything. They got a six-wheeled amphibian in there with a JLL 440 motor. I mean, that's, for those guys that are being challenged on where to get parts and who in the heck's going to work on my bike, say you're not good with mechanicals. You know, I can't recommend Adam and Youngstown Speed and Cycle, you know, because they can do it all. So I think that makes a big difference in our community.
And we specialize, like we did keep the old Youngstown Cycle roots of the British background. So we still, like I'm a Triumph guy. So we still specialize in the British stuff, and we specialize in Harley. Like Timmy's a awesome Harley mechanic. That's where his passion is. So
yeah, you know, and I have to say this, and this brings up another question. You know, back years ago when I restored that, there, Herbie, there, you know,
the, looking at the white one,
you know, I restored that in 98, and the aftermarket parts were so bad at that point. And have you seen a change through your years of doing this stuff, Adam, that the aftermarket parts have gotten better quality? Because I know it's still an issue for fitment as far as parts go.
My dad, when I was at four wheel drive, he came in there the one day and I was waiting on a customer in the showroom, and I told the showroom flat out, I'm like, yeah, you don't want that. That's a junk. I was like, go with this instead. And my dad pulls me aside and goes, you can't say that. I said, why can't I say that? He's like, well, you can't talk about somebody's product like that. I'm like, dad, I have to answer this if there's an issue. So absolutely, I'm going to tell him that it's garbage. So to answer your question, yes. I mean, at four-wheel drive, we were pretty adamant as far as we tested all the parts. We were picky with everything, who we carried. We tested everything. As far as like what I see a lot now in especially the motorcycle industry, everybody's buying off Amazon and eBay and stuff like that, and they're not buying name brand stuff. They're buying Chinese crap. And like I had a guy, we put a shifter on. He wanted a carbon fiber shifter. We put on his bike. He gets a block down the road and calls me to come pick him up because the shifter snapped in half. Jeez. No reason. It just snapped, and it was that Amazon stuff. So you still got to watch, you know.
You know, Larry, I know you work on bikes a lot, and the aftermarket part in your world of, you know, is there anything you can't find now?
Well, give an example. I bought a Sylvania 4411. That's a standard 4.5-inch headlight that is used on most Harley Davidson driving lights. And I thought, oh my God, because it's an older looking box. But when I got the bulb out, that made in China. Now, there are some things that you can get away with. You know, when I had my old Airhead, you know, I was looking for the button, starter button and stuff like that. And I thought I got OEM stuff because I bought it right from the Harley dealer. And it turns out when I got the bag, it said made in China. But I will say this, whether it's a Corvette or a Harley Davidson or a BMW, I like to go with OEM parts. You can never go wrong with the part that was manufactured for the bike from the manufacturer. So if I can get an OEM Harley Davidson part or an OEM BMW part, then I try and do that. If you have to second source, you have to pick and choose, as Adam would know. There are certain second sources from locations that are okay. And then there are others that aren't okay, and they're probably not going to stand the test of time like an original equipment part. But you really have the internet's your friend on stuff like that. You have to be knowledgeable about, you know, what the part is, the part numbers, you know, the description, and make sure you know that because somewhere along the description it'll say the country of origin and a lot of times, or they'll just say imported. And if you bought a set of brake levers, like an adjustable brake lever, see those little shorties or something like that, you know, that thing, those aren't, if they're made out of billet, you know, and they come from China, you know, they're probably going to squeeze okay and do stuff like that okay. But when it comes to things like tires or stuff in your motor, things like that, that if they fail, you know, could end up being catastrophic, you know, you want to try and search out OEM.
Yep. And it's not like with the Chinese stuff, like one thing I learned from the manufacturing stuff at four wheel drive was like, it's not all junk. So you would have, for instance, you would have a company like, I'm going to just throw names out there, but you would have a company like Smittybilt, you would have Rugged Ridge, and you would have Rampage or whatever. They're getting their bumpers all made in the same place in China, but it's made to their specifications. So they're tweaking them a little bit, but they have control of how many welds are on it. They have control of the quality of their powder coat.
Good point.
That's something you got to look into too, because just because this bumper may be $100 and look just like this bumper that's $400, but quality wise, if you hook a toe strap to your D-ring and you're going to rip the D-ring off the bumper on the $100 one, I've seen it happen. So that's what you got to watch out for.
Then those are good points.
Yeah, and a lot of things that, you know, I guess electronics and that, but all the, you know, it could be assembled in USA, but the parts are made in China. And that's something else you have to watch out for as well, which I guess with electrics and electronics, they're all why we're in the predicament we're in now with
hey Greg, when you were doing your Beetle.
Yes, Rick.
You're breaking up. I can't see. Okay. Oh. Over here, anyway. Hey, when you were doing your Beatle, those parts are probably from Taiwan back then.
Brazil. You know.
Brazil. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of the, if you get into the bug parts, they're from Brazil. And
MP's a big one with bug parts.
Yeah, MP. And again, you know, you can go on, on a rampage of how things have changed, and MP parts, you know, they've been around a long time, so you've got to watch what you get from them as well, as long as a lot of other places too. JC Whitney was a big one I have to say this. I was going back in my mind to JC Whitney. Remember getting the JC Whitney
hat? Oh yeah.
I have to mention, you know, we were talking earlier, just a couple people here at work, about trends that were back. We're back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Is there anything, Rick, that you would like to see come back as far as trends, car-wise, bike-wise, looks-wise on a car? And I think he is just
having trouble.
He's having some internet trouble.
Well, I've got a quick question for Adam.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Larry.
You know, you brought up a couple of really good points, and you see it a lot in the bicycle manufacturing or the bicycle industry, where, you know, there's only really three people that make frames. And although I recently seen wheels and some frames that were very good made in China, you're going to pay more. But like you said, every step of the way was monitored by the manufacturer. My question to you for our listeners and viewers is, how do you determine if the part that is, say, made in China was made to OEM specs and the company had people on site to watch how the process went as it went through start to finish? How do you know that part is that good of a part?
Like, I'll be completely honest with you. For me, it's experience. Like, from the Jeep end, from the car end, I've been doing this stuff for so long, I know what to stay away from. So as far as, somebody ordering off the internet, it's really hard without doing a ton of research on it. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of times customers will come into us and ask us a question about something before they buy it. Like, I can usually steer them like pretty good quality wise. You know what I mean? A lot of it is just experience and knowing what to buy. I mean, you got product reviews, which are a great thing. I think business reviews are ridiculous. But the product reviews are great because you can actually get somebody saying, yeah, I had this issue or this fit great. Like, that's a good thing to check out.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say one thing about business reviews as well. An experience just from, you know, working here at Armstrong is the people that go on to do the business reviews are mad. And Normally that's the way it is.
They didn't get their way.
They're going to vent. They're going to, you know, it's very rare that you get somebody, you know, that comes in and saying they did a great job.
They're critics. That's what they do.
Critics. That's the way it is. So you don't believe everything you read about a business. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't even read business reviews at all. And even if I read one, like, I go in and check it out for myself.
Yeah, you have to go in and check it out for yourself and never take that for. But I agree with the product reviews. You know, there's a lot of time. I know my wife is big on product reviews.
He
won't buy anything unless it's got like 4 stars at least, you know, on like an Amazon or something. So, you know, that's something to look out for. As Rick, I was saying, we got some time here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about trends going on. What did you want to see come back, if anything, on a car?
What did I want to see come back? Yeah. Oh gosh.
Go back in your mind. Yeah. And everybody listening to this podcast, watching this, think about it, because there's gotta be something back that used to be so cool or nice, or it was really convenient, that was back when you were growing up, or what you'd love to see come back.
I like the body styles of the 60s on cars, stuff like that. That's what I really like. They were so unique and
art.
They were just so art. Yes, very much.
Artwork.
Yeah.
I think as far as custom trends, I love the 70s with the big fat tires with the white letters.
It's coming back.
The pipes, the mag tools. Like, I love that look, jacked up in the back end a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like that was a cool look. And then I love the 80s with the big lifted trucks with the crazy paint jobs.
Yeah.
Those were awesome.
Yeah. That look is coming back in the last couple of years. You know, I used to see every once in a while somebody that had left the big Craigers in the back with the blue oval, you know, race tires and the skinny ones in front. Like, oh my God, I haven't seen one of those in years. Yeah, now really. You're starting to see that back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that looks coming back. And
the gassers are coming back. You know, you see a lot of gassers around. That's cool.
Yeah, I bought mine like 5 or 6 years ago to stand out. And
now let's talk about gassers.
Yeah, we at the Rust Belt Revival, you had a gasser there, right? What was that
again? Yeah, that's my 63 Fairlane.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
That thing's badass.
Listen, I didn't plan on buying that. Like the story on that, I always been into gassers. My dad got me in them. You know, I thought they were cool. So I had a little Model T. It was chopped and channeled, 355 speed. Like, thing was wicked, but like we couldn't take the kids with us, no back seat, and it was uncomfortable. Like, we would drive it to Canfield, and it's just like, let me out of this car. I'm going to just leave it here for the night. So we ended up, we went to Canfield swap meet, me and my fiance, and we were looking for a VW bus because she wanted a bus. And we're walking through there, and she looks over, and there was a 65 Comet gasser, and it didn't have a name on it or anything like that. So I called the guy. She went to get something to drink. So I'm looking at this car, and the guy pulled the 351, put a 302 in it. I looked underneath. It was straight axled, but that's all they did to it. They put a straight axle under it. So I'm just like, whatever. You know what I mean? I walked away from it. So we're walking out, and I see it was parked in one of the horse stalls, like those little bays. All the blue headlights hanging out. And I looked over at her, and I'm like, I have to have this. And like, I blacked out.
Fell in love.
So I go, the guy's sitting behind it, which he was an older gentleman. I think he was 78 at the time. And I start talking to him, and I was trying to trade him for my tea. Well, then him and I went back and forth for about a week, and him and his son actually dropped it off to me the night. It was the first night of the four-wheel drive jamboree. Because I remember coming home from working, they dropped it off. We took it out and ran around with it. And I sold the Model T the next day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I still keep in touch with the guy that has a T. I'm friends with the guys that actually built my car. Like, I talk to them all the time, hang out with them when I can at car shows. But they're a great group of guys and stuff. And it's, loved it the first year. The second year I got bored with it because being artsy and creative, my Model T was like ratty. So I could like buy stuff at an antique shop and like make crap out of it for my car. I can't do that with this because it's like a vintage race car and you got to keep it what it is. But we went to Rockin' Race. We took it up to Rockin' Race and just got all kind of ideas. So now it's like last year I did a pile of stuff to it. And I have more ideas for the future. I just haven't had time to do any of it. So
that's part of owning a business now. Business and family, you know, there's never time for that.
I got two girls, man. They keep me running all the time. So
I was going to ask you how many kids you got. You got two girls, huh?
Yeah, I got two girls, 11 and 15. And the 15-year-old's into dance and acting. And I'm teaching at night. So it's like, this is my off night. So.
Mm-hmm. So we're happy to have you here, and you actually, you know, since you're so busy, we actually happy to have you join us.
Let's bring up about the Rooster Rally, huh?
Wait, before the Rooster Rally, let's talk about the
Okay.
because that's first. We'll go
which one?
Order. The Gentleman's Ride. Yeah, the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
Okay.
Okay, so that is going to be Saturday, May 22nd. We brought that to Youngstown. So the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride, for those of you that don't know what it is, the whole world does it. So everybody rides at the same time. Usually it's on a Sunday. Some people do it Saturday. I'm doing Saturday this year because I want to ride Pittsburgh Sunday. So everybody dresses up dapper. So we dress up in like three-piece suits. We dress up all vintage.
That leaves me out.
it's geared towards vintage motorcycles. However, like, it's up to my discretion what I let in. As long as everybody's being cool, you can ride whatever. I don't care. So,
May 22nd is a Monday.
Okay, I might be wrong then. 21st.
That's a Sunday.
I'm sorry. It'd be the 20th. It'd be that, whatever that Saturday is.
That's Saturday.
Okay.
May 20th.
Yeah.
May 20th.
It's the weekend before Memorial Day.
Yeah, May 20th.
So, yeah, it'll be on that Saturday. So what we do, I will be, if you watch our Facebook page, as soon as they open registration, which usually is like around beginning of March, I'll put the registration up. You go on there, you register, and then we raise money for prostate cancer and men's health.
Good.
So you have a couple months to do it. You can even do it. You can even do it the day of the event. I do not let people register the day of the event anymore at my shop because we had a bunch of people showing up to do that, and it's just I got enough stuff going on. I don't have time to register you.
Yeah.
So I asked that they register for. The first year we did it, we had 50 riders, which was pretty good because Pittsburgh, their first year, I think they had a couple of them. They usually get up to 100 now. Last year I had like, I think 55 registered. Now it ended up being very gloomy that day. 25 showed up. We rode in a downpour, like we were soaked, but we had a blast. So, this year, what I'm planning for the end of it is being that we're doing it on a Saturday, we'll probably take off from the shop at 11. We'll ride for about 3 hours. We're going to end up at Factory 46 in Columbiana. So we prayed through Columbia and everything. At Factory 46, I've teamed up with Joe from there, who's a car guy. I've teamed up with Napa Auto Parts in Columbiana, and we are going to do a big event there where we end up. It's going to be a car and a bike show. I hired David Loy and the Ramrods. They're going to come play music for us. Joe will have 46 open so people can eat and drink there. So we're just going to like go there and have a good time. We're also some crafts vendors for there too.
What's Factory 46? I'm not familiar with it.
It's a like restaurant bar.
Okay.
It's right in the
bar. I'll be there.
Yeah. It's in the Plaza Napa's and good food. Like I said, we hang out there all the time. So,
okay.
Yeah. If you're not familiar, if you're in Columbiana, it's in the Sparkle Plaza.
Yes.
Right off.
Yep,
right
I know exactly where it's at.
Opposite corner. It's behind Sandwich Factory.
Yep. Behind Sandwich Factory on the side.
I was just down that way the other day, Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. So that's, with Napa's help and stuff, we should have a pretty good turnout as far as cars goes. And like I said, we're trying to find some, vendors to come and set up and sell art, sell crafts, stuff like that.
Okay. And that's one thing you're doing, but Larry had informed me yesterday, or was it the day before? I can't remember. They all blend together. Something happened with the Rooster Rally, and somehow Adam got tangled up in that.
Like you're not busy enough, huh?
So yeah, we did the Rooster Rally a couple of years ago, and in the last 2 years, I've been out because I've been doing Glory Days the same weekend. So, the gentleman from Rooster Rally has been after me. He always talks to Matt. I finally met him. He's supposed to come in and meet with us, but just to kind of give a lowdown, we're still in the planning stages. They're going to do we're planning on doing like the bike day is going to be Friday. Saturday will be just the typical Rooster Rally cars, bikes, everything. And then Sunday will be a Jeep day.
Nice. Has it always been 3 days?
No, it's always been Saturday. So
that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. And then Joey Sylvester at High Octane Coffee, he's doing a monster truck thing there all weekend too. So it's going to be a really good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to do that all weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, because, you know, if you haven't been to the Rooster Rally, that's at the Canfield Fairgrounds every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole fairgrounds. And then Joey Sylvester does the monster truck show.
And there's a burnout pit. Like there's all kind of cool stuff. He's opening camping this year. So you can camp there.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah,
that's good. That's exactly what this area needed because, you know, Rick and I and Larry are going to test the Ox Roast. You know, that was always such a big show up.
That was a great show. Yep.
And now we've got, you know, we've got, remind me, Rick, because my brain's going at the Trembling County Fairgrounds.
The Rockabilly Ruckus.
Yeah.
Rockabilly Ruckus.
Yeah, Rockabilly Ruckus, which I don't know if they're moving that show or not yet, but. but that was a big one. And now we've got the Rooster Rally coming up, and I'm glad you're in the planning stage of that. It's a 3-day event.
That's neat. We're going to have to get involved.
I'm happy he asked me to be a part of it because I love event planning. And
oh god,
I told him I want to pinstripe there, so he okayed that. And I think like what kind of, it kind of is going to remind me of is the old days of the Supernats.
Yes,
like I wish we could get back to what Boardman was afterwards when you cruised up and down Boardman. I mean, actually, the 1 year it would have been the year that ended. Joey Sylvester and I, we were talking about doing something where we could have cruises at our individual locations that people could leave the show, cruise up and down 224 like they used to, stop in our places for cruises. We were going to try to bring that back, and then it was done. So,
yeah. If you remember back in the days of, back 90s, you know, quite a while ago when the Supernats was huge, I mean, you'd be waiting in traffic for hours.
Yeah.
It was
so cool.
And even, up at Chili's there, this was 2 years ago when he had the big party up there. That was, I love that better than the Supernats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss A&W. A&W was a good
thing. Well, that was a staple that I think we all hated to see go.
Oh, right. I was getting the building down.
And you know, the funny thing is, you know, he sold that property for millions and then turned around and, left us way too soon after that. You know, he never really got a chance to enjoy it.
A&W was definitely a car lover's dream for the back to 50 or back to 50s. I'm thinking of Newcastle. Hot Rod Supernationals. My brain is when I was growing up in, you know, New Wilmington, so if you get a chance, keep an eye out for the Rooster Rally. Rick, you have anything Larry, I want to ask this of you. You know, we talked about trends coming back. You didn't participate. I wanted to hear if you had anything that you liked that's coming back that you'd love to see come back.
Well, I'd like to see old school bikes coming back and being ridden all the time. But the problem is anybody that can appreciate that or owns that is 72 or seems to be older. And most of the young kids don't even want to get their driver's license, let alone get dirty. So, I'd like to see that stuff come back, the old Hollywood night stuff, hanging out on a Friday or Saturday night, you know, with your car or your bike, you know, just having a nice time. But I think this COVID, a lot of people are chiming in and agreeing is that there's two parts of that COVID. The one part that shut down all the businesses and caused problems like for Adam. Then there's a secondary part which forced people to work from their home, which got them to be complacent. You know, try and get people to go to an actual meeting where you're all going to be in one physical location. You know, very difficult. You know, if you got 100 members, 20 show up. The COVID, I think, has caused a lot of things. And right after we were allowed out to play, you know, if you had an event, it was overwhelmed. But, you know, I don't always see that nowadays. You know, I've been to a couple of different bike and car rallies. And, if I was going to say, let's go back to pre-2020, where people are enjoying themselves, working from their actual work locations and going out and participating in car and bike shows.
You know, I have to mention this one, and I think Adam would appreciate this one more than you and, Larry and Rick. But when I was growing up, it was towards the tail end. I was after high school, but the mini trucks is what – I haven't seen a nice mini truck in a long time. And back when I was just in college and beginning, that was the big craze. Everybody had a mini truck.
Matt. Matt loves mini trucks.
I love – you know, it came and went. You know, it was a big hot thing, and then it was gone. And you never see a nice one anymore. So I'd love to see at least some of that, at least kind of creep back into the
They all rusted out. That's one
problem. Yeah, they all rotted.
You guys remember the van craze? These built vans.
Vans are awesome.
Vans are so cool. They are.
Jerry Dixie made a living out of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know. And if you remember, I mean, everything just so dolled up. I mean, different themes, you know, shag carpeting, you know. It was pretty cool.
There's Adam. You can airbrush on the side of a van.
Oh, I want to do one so bad. I got a buddy that has a bunch of old ones, and I keep telling him, like, let me do one.
Oh, even if it was patinaed, he'd get airbrushed on the side of it. You know, the whole canvas.
Hey, Larry, when you're talking about the old school choppers and the old school lifestyle, you got to go to Glory Days.
I am going to go there. And thank you for the information on the owner I passed along to Greg. You know, we certainly should get him on the air. That sounds like a blast. Yeah. Is that over by Milldale or somewhere by there?
Yes. It is actually the bridge that you cross to go to Kennywood. There's that long bridge. It's right there. Before you cross that bridge, it's the Cary Blast Furnace. It's, the place is amazing. It's the blast furnace. Yeah, it's dirty. It's like old choppers everywhere that these guys are riding in, and it's a really cool place.
So where is it? In Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Glory Days in Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah. September 20 something.
That's awesome. You know, we're going to wrap things up here, but Adam, your event's coming up. Mention it again.
Okay. Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. We were talking, May 20th, I think, right? Saturday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, that'll be, just watch the Facebook page because I'll announce times and everything there. That's a super cool event. It's going to be a super cool after party, and I hope the after party, like, carries on into the night. And then, Rooster Alley planning stages. So I'll get you guys hooked up with all that stuff once I know.
Yeah, give us some information on all this stuff, okay? Yeah, so we can get the word out there.
Sure. Yeah, maybe we do this again, like, close to the Gentleman's Ride, because then I'll have all the info and concrete. Well,
we got to get Rick and get his Sportster out. He's got a Sportster.
Rick?
Yeah, I'm going to sell it, though.
What year is it?
It's a 13, 883. Oh, cool. It's a small one.
You should bring that in.
Larry calls it the girl's bike. So,
I don't know. We can chop that and make it cool.
I'm too much into cars right now. The bikes that don't thrill me anymore. I just like the cars now.
That's because you're riding a bike that blends in. You got to. Uh-huh.
You have something that stands out, you know. Well, you're broke now. You don't have any money left.
Well, I hope you get that Firebird. Rick, that Firebird is awesome, man.
Maybe I'll just go buy a big bagger off of Larry over there at the Harley Davidson shop, huh?
New stuff.
New stuff doesn't have soul, Rick.
Huh?
New stuff doesn't have soul.
Yep. You know what? Well, to mention that, Larry, Rick is getting that Firebird, so. You know,
for sure.
Tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow, yeah.
Bought it. I didn't know you bought it.
When we're at Streets, you need to come and check out the Firebird. Adam, how can people find you and more information on your website?
So the website is Youngstown Cycle and Speed. The Facebook and Instagram are where we post, like, pretty much all of our information, especially Facebook. I'm real heavy with Facebook. Like I said, the art stuff, AP Designs, that's all my artwork that I do. And other than that, just stop in the shop or call and we can give info from there too.
If you don't know where Youngstown Cycle and Speed is, it's on Market Street in Boardman, right off 224. It's not far from down there going north from 224. So stop down. It's a place to go see if you need parts. They pretty much do anything, you know, except if you have a 59 Caddy, I don't think it's going to fit in your shop. But, you know,
not yet.
You can't get that through the front door.
No, not yet. Especially that. Yeah.
We're getting there.
They're getting there. So we want to thank Adam Pratt from Youngstown.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, thank you, buddy. For Rick Carrera, touch. Larry Ward. My name is Greg Roden, and this has been Street Scene Power. I will see
you down the road.
Down the road.
Down the road.
Down the road.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
Hey.
When it comes to internet service, you get it all with Zoom from Armstrong. There's unlimited data for unlimited downloads, low latency for seamless streaming and gaming, plus an unmatched fiber network for speeds that can't be beat. Find out for yourself. Go to armstrongonewire.com/zoom and get high-speed internet for as low as $34.95 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. Just internet made easy. That's Zoom Internet from Armstrong.